Let's go ahead and pray, and we'll take a look at this book, great book of Romans. Dear Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. Lord, you've given it to us. It's your instruction book for us. Lord, you're telling us about yourself. You're telling us about us. You're telling us about the future, about the past. Lord, it's all there. Everything you wanted us to know is in this book called the Bible. And we're thankful you've given it to us. And Lord, I pray as we study this, I pray, Lord, that you'll help me not to say anything that's untrue. I pray, Father, that I'll speak the truth. And Lord, I ask for your help and your direction, your wisdom, in order to be able to do that. And so as we look at this great book, Father, I just pray that you'll be with each and every heart here. Lord, each of us has different needs. And Lord, I pray that as we study your word, that each person's needs will be met as we study this. So just open our hearts. I pray the Holy Spirit will be our teacher this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, we have been talking about the spiritual gifts. And we are talking about the third S. Okay, we're talking about the different gifts. Okay? And so today's the third S. So who can tell me what the three S's are? See if anybody's been awake. Service is the last one. That's what we're talking about today. You got that. Okay. What's the first two? Okay. Sign. John's got that right. The middle one. What? Sign, speaking, and service gifts. Okay. The sign gifts, as we've already talked about, that was the miracle gifts, okay? The speaking in tongues, the interpretation of tongues, this type of thing. That the apostles, it was during the time of the apostles, and then the Bible says tongues will cease, all this stuff will cease. And so we're now left with the other two, which is the speaking gifts and the serving gifts. We've talked about the speaking gifts now, which basically is telling forth, the Word of God, speaking. And we've been through that, and now we're down to the service gifts. In other words, serving. And so, I guess with no further ado, and again, I'll just to remind everybody, as a Christian, when we face judgment, we're going to be judged according to our works. Okay, salvation has been taken care of at the cross. As a Christian, that's a done deal. Okay, and so we're going to be, and our works, we're going to be judged, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble is what we're building on. And that's in 2 Corinthians, that judgment. The unbeliever's judgment, again, there's two judgments. The unbeliever's judgment takes place at the white throne judgment, which is found in Revelation chapter 20, when the books are open. Anyone whose name is not found written in the book of life is cast in to the lake of fire. And folks, you don't want to be in that judgment. You don't want to be there. And I pray that everyone in this room has accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. They're on their way to heaven. And I'm praying that your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. Okay, so with those thoughts in mind, let's turn to Romans chapter 12, and we're just going to pick up right where we left off 3 weeks ago. All right, we're going to read verses 6 through 8. And so who'd read those verses for us this morning? Delbert? Okay, so basically it says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. And you remember we talked about Paul says, I'm apostle by God's grace Okay? That's not talking about saving grace. Paul definitely did get a good dose of saving grace. Okay? He got that. But by grace, God has chosen him to be an apostle. And so we talked about that. And so God, to every believer, God has given usually one main spiritual gift. But basically, we're all required to basically use all of them, okay? I may not have the gift of giving, but I'm supposed to give. You know, it's just that I don't have the gift of, may not have the gift of mercy, but we're supposed to show mercy. And so to a degree, we use them all, but usually we all have one main gift. And so we all have different gifts. We've been talking about the body, how the body is composed of different parts. Their arms, legs, nose, okay, all that. And so we all have different gifts, and out of that is to show a life of service unique to us. Every one of us is unique. Every one of us is different. And as a body, as a unit here, our church here, our bodily parts all need to be functioning. And if it's not all functioning properly, the church suffers. Okay, and about to get ahead of myself. Okay, the gifts, okay, God's given channels in the believer sovereignly designed for every Christian. God uniquely gave us the gifts that we have, all right? And through which the Holy Spirit ministers to the building up of the church, the building up of the body. And folks, right now, we're in this transition, okay? We're in a big transition. This is a big deal that our church is going through now, looking for another pastor. All right? And folks, we need to be unified. We need to be sticking together like glue. All right? We're all a part of this. It's our church. We need to fight for it. And we need to hang in there. In fact, right now, we all need to step up to the plate, you know, just to kind of help do what we can, you know. Because looking for a pastor is a tough thing. They said the average length of time is a year. And I've seen that happen on more than one occasion. Okay, I've been involved in it. So, and it's hard when you're kind of in a state of flux here now. That's where we are. We need to be aware of that. We need to pray for this church. We need to pray for each other. And we need to bond together. Okay, that was free of charge. That wasn't part of my notes here. Now I got to get back to my notes here. Okay, God-given channels to the believer. It says, through which the Holy Spirit ministers to the building up of the church. They are for the common good. Your gifts, the gift that God has given you is for the common good, for the common good of this church, okay? My gifts are for the church. Your gifts are for the church. Mine are not for me, and yours are not for you. It is not to build you up, it's to build the church up. It is to reach out to others. And so, and we are to use it for that purpose, for the building up of the church. This is a very important question. Whatever gift we have, who gave it to us? God did. Okay? God gave us the spiritual gift that we have. And so we are not supposed to be frustrated with the gift that we have. Oh, shucks, I'm not a preacher. You know, I want to be a preacher, but I'm not, you know. God didn't call us all to be preachers. Okay? And the reason God didn't call me to be a preacher is he knew I couldn't handle it. Okay, and I'm glad he didn't. Being a pastor today is tough. It is tough. And there's stuff goes on behind the scenes we don't even know about. And anyway. God gave us the gift that he's given us. And we need to do all that we can to refine and sharpen those tools. If you've got the gift of service, then serve. And the gift of service is very broad. We're talking about service today. He has given us gifts to use for his glory in the advance of his kingdom. God's given them to further the kingdom, you know, to strengthen believers, to strengthen the church. If we're ever to see all that God can do with that gift, then we start by giving our whole self to him. And folks, that backs up to Romans 12, 1 and 2. Presenting our bodies a living sacrifice. We've been through that, all right? He will maximize it by his own sovereign design. Now, this tells us some very important things. No gift should be sought after. If you do not have the gift of, let's just say teaching, okay? Say you want to teach, but God didn't give you that gift. You know, you're not supposed to be envious or upset or mad or whatever at God because he gave you the wrong gift, okay? Wrong attitude. They are sovereignly given by God. God doesn't make any mistakes, folks. He knows what he's doing. All right? We should not wish we had another gift rather than the one that we received. For example, if someone has a gift of showing mercy, they are very sensitive and can listen to someone and listen and listen and listen. And there's just a wonderful warmth of spirit. I do not have that gift, okay? But I see somebody that does, and I marvel, you know? I mean, they are so caring, so tender-hearted, so concerned, you know? And then they minister that gift by showing mercies, which bases toward people who are in great need, people that are hurting, okay? What a comfort they are. Okay, and others watch this happening and say, oh, what a blessed thing that is. There are people who have passion to see the lost come to Christ, you know, and all they want to do is go out and evangelize. They have that gift, okay? We have evangelists, and thank God for the evangelists that we have. Revivals our nation's seen and had. And we look out and we say, thank God that those people have that ability. And we look at ourselves and say, but my passions are different than that. But the faith measured out to the other is a measure of faith to utilize that gift that God gives them. We talked about God, it's according to measure of faith. And again, God gives degrees of talent, okay? And there's parables. I keep wanting to say proverbs. There's parables, you know, where one's given one talent, somebody else given three talents, somebody else given five talents, you know. And so God, different degrees. And we shouldn't be envious of those that God has filled their cup fuller than ours, okay? Like I mentioned one time, God gave me and Billy Graham a different dose of, ability. And, he reached the world. We're right here. We're to be content. I'm very content to be right here. You know, this is great. Anyway, it's a wonderful thing to be able to stand up here and do this. I love it. He didn't give us a certain gift and not the ability to operate it. You know, when God gives a gift, he gives the ability to do it, okay? He doesn't give a gift and then limit it sovereignly and put us in a place of unbelievable frustration. He doesn't do that. Our gift that God has given us is something that just is a part of us. You know, it just comes naturally. We all stand on the same common ground in the unity of commitment. But from there on out, there is a tremendous diversity. And folks, there is a diversity of people here in this church and every church. We are as diverse in terms of our service as we are diverse in terms of our own personal identity. We're all different. Different gifts. There are no two Christians alike. There are no two of us who can serve the Lord alike. We have different ways of ministering. The verse goes on to say, we're in verse 6, okay? The verse goes on to say, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Okay, might have the gift of prophecy. Okay, there is a wrong attitude that Paul is dealing with here. And that's failing to use your gift at all. Just turning it off. And that's why he says, in this verse here, he says, if you have the gift of prophecy, then prophesy. He's saying, use your gift. Don't sit on a shelf and do nothing. Use it. God gave it to you to be used. Let's say some things about prophecy, okay? Because the gift of prophecy is so misunderstood. It's a term, I'm going to spell it out here for you, in the Greek, okay? T-E-I-A. It simply means to speak publicly, to speak before people. That's what the gift, the word prophecy means, okay? And a lot of times we get it so confused because we say somebody's got the gift of prophecy, that's telling the future, okay? And it is. It was, okay? I'll say it was, not is, okay? People could predict the future, okay? That's prophecy. Look at the book of Daniel. We went through the book of Daniel here. I mean, there's still things in the book of Daniel that's yet to come. A lot of things haven't been fulfilled, okay? Look at the book of Revelation. You know, I mean, these are, a lot of that is stuff that's going to happen in the future. And so, and I mean, we know exactly from the Word of God what's going to happen in the future. Well, not exactly, but I mean, we have a general scope. If you study the Word of God, it tells us. And folks, we know that things are bad now, but they're going to get a whale of a lot worse. You know, you go through the book of Revelation, and you see what's going to take place here when the Antichrist and all this other, you know, wow. We ain't seen nothing yet, folks. It looks like we're headed that way real fast right now. I mean, okay, don't get into that, Jim. It simply means to speak publicly, to speak before people. That's all it means. In fact, let's just go ahead and turn to 1 Corinthians 14:3. And you can't nail it down any tighter than this. 1 Corinthians 14:3. Okay, and who'd read that for us? Okay, Alan? Okay. 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 King James says comfort. Okay. So, and here it says, he that prophesies speaketh unto men to edification. In other words, to edify people, to build them up, to strengthen them. All right. And exhortation. Somebody with a gift of exhortation, they come along beside you and help you along, you know, help lead you along, and comfort, to bring comfort. Okay? Now, where in that, he's talking about, there's a word prophecy, but he that prophesieth, where's anything in that verse about telling the future? Nothing. Folks, it's speaking the Word of God. That foretelling, okay, predicting the future is over with, folks. It's done. There is no more foretelling the future. It's done with. We're going to see that here in just a second, all right? And so it's speaking to men to do these very things here, you know, to edify them, to build them up, exhortation, to encourage them, You know, keep going, keep going, keep going, and comfort, you know, to bring peace and comfort. And the Word of God brings comfort, folks. You know, it brings comfort. So, okay, now moving, okay, back to Romans here again. Okay, now prophecy did include foretelling the future from a prophet of the Old or the New Testament in times past. Okay, and so I mentioned Daniel, I mentioned John in the book of Revelation. Okay, Old and New Testament, people were telling the future, okay? We believe that it does not exist today. Okay? Why? Okay, because a canon of Scripture had not been completed back then. And a lot, they didn't have the Word of God. They couldn't pick up their Bible and look at the book of Romans. It hadn't been written yet. You know, from a lot of it, okay? Now, in John's case, for Revelation, yeah, it had been. But for the most part, and so God revealed, he had these prophets to reveal the future. They needed to know that. Okay, now since all the revelation is complete, folks, this book is complete. God's not going to give us anything more. It's done. Okay? Now, since the revelation is complete, the one with the gift of public speaking today speaks the revelation already revealed. Somebody with the gift of prophecy today, they simply tell others about what's in here. They're not adding to it. It's a done deal. And so it is a gift of speaking publicly. And now today we are not to add or to take away anything from the written Word of God. Okay? So why do I say it's a done deal? We'll give you the answer. Turn to Revelation chapter 22. You guys already know where we're going. You've got this verse memorized, but we're going to do it anyway. Because we need to see it from Scripture. I want people to see things not just because I tell them, because I can tell you wrong. Revelation 22, verses 18 and 19. And who'd read that for us? John? Plain. God says you are not to add to anything in this book, and you're not to take anything away. God's word is to stand on its own two feet. And so if somebody comes along and they have a new revelation, folks, that is baloney. It's baloney. That gift does not exist anymore today, and this verse right here says it. There's not to be anything added. And so somebody's going to be adding something to what we've already got if they say, I have had a revelation from God. And there's people that do that today. And so just to set the record straight, folks, it's false. They're false. They're false prophets. Okay. Today it is a gift of preaching, of proclaiming the Word of God. That's what the gift of prophecy is today. Just like we read in, I don't know, one of those verses said, speaks to edifying and comfort. We can believe that the gift of prophecy still exists today, and its inclusion in Romans 12 is a good reason why we can believe that. Okay, it's included in Romans 12. As we've already talked about, there's some of the gifts, the sign gifts, the miracle gifts, have passed away. In 1 Corinthians 12, I don't know, somewhere in there, we talked about the sign gifts, and they were used back in the apostolic days. And so it was something that was real, but it's passed away. It's listed here with the ongoing gifts of the church. Now, prophecy is a very important gift. One who prophesies edifies the church, builds up the church. And so we begin to apply our theology. We begin to really move into the area of practical living with the right service or the right ministry. The abilities we have, the ministries God desires to work through us, that when we understand how vital that is to the development of the body, it's time for us to get moving. In other words, get at it. It's a call for action. We're talking about the gift of serving now. We're kind of back to that again. It's time to get moving. You who have been recipients of what God has done on your behalf. Paul here is encouraging us to get busy doing what he's called us to do on his behalf. Whatever your gift, then do it with simplicity, with diligence, and with cheerfulness. And I think that was I'm getting off my notes here. Okay, and here's what one preacher said. There can be no such thing as an obedient Christian who isn't ministering. That's a tough statement to say, but you stop and think about it. We've taken a look at what Christ has done for us on Calvary. We take a look at the future that he has given us, a home in heaven for eternity. Undeserving as we are, okay? And if we take and just stand back, and folks, if you're a Christian, you have got a great, great future. If you're not a believer yet, I encourage you, come to Christ. Okay? Because the alternative is not pretty. It's called the lake of fire. So, not pretty. A lot of people don't believe in a hell. If they say, I don't believe God is real, they're calling God a liar. Okay? There's more verses in the Bible talk about hell than are about heaven. Folks, hell is real. It is real. And there's only one way to come to go to heaven. Receive Jesus Christ, his payment on the cross, his payment for your sins. He paid for it. And yet we have got to do our part by receiving by faith. We receive the gifts. Anyway, we've been through that so many times. But to receive Jesus Christ and realize that his payment is for you. It's for me. And if we put our total trust in him and the work that he did on Calvary, shedding his blood, dying on the cross for our sins, and accept that as our payment by faith, we're saved. And if you have never done that, you're lost. You're lost. There's no other way. There's no other deity out there. You know, anyway. Okay, when I say there's no such thing as an obedient Christian who isn't ministering, in other words, what that means, if you're not doing anything for the Lord, you are being disobedient. Period. This is not saying that you have to be ministering within the organized structure of the church. Folks, you don't have to do it here. Maybe you're not called to do anything here in this church. You know, chances are good there's something you can do here, but you could be doing stuff at home. Like I mentioned before, our church in Kankakee, Illinois, they came up with the idea of having what they call joy clubs. And there'd be, different ladies in all different areas, in the whole county. There was joy clubs going on all over around Kankakee, Illinois. You know, and all the ladies would invite all the little kiddies, in their neighborhood to come and have a Bible study. And, kids are being taught the Word of God all over. It wasn't in the church. You don't have to do things in the church. It doesn't have to be. it's good. I mean, I'm sure you could probably talk to Pastor, say, Pastor, what could I do? And again, if you do that, look at yourself and say, okay, what would be something that I feel like I could do? It fits my personality. It fits me, you know. And maybe I'm getting ahead of myself here. My notes are a little bit, but come up with, maybe there's something that you see that there's a need in this church that isn't being done, and you feel like, you know, this is something we actually need to do. Okay, go talk to Pastor about it. And I'm getting ready to lead into that soon here. Get back to my notes here. Okay, now I got it. Okay, this is not saying you have to be ministering within a church. Okay, we are to use our gift to minister as we live out our daily lives, wherever we are. In other words, as a Christian, you can be. There's a lot of times. Okay, if I go to a doctor, you know, there's one time that I had some test done and they were looking at my heart. Okay. And I'm sitting here watching this thing on this screen, you know, going like that. And I just, I was just amazed at that, you know, at that heart sitting there beating, been beating for 79 years now, still going strong. And I just told those ladies there, I said, you know what? I don't know how anybody could become a doctor or a nurse or anything else after studying the human body. All the functions, the way this whole body works together in such a unit, and they cannot believe in the designer, in the Jesus Christ. Or, well, I could not can or and believe in evolution. I said, how in the world could anybody think that this thing started off as a glob of mud, you know, after 13.8 billion years, well, after the world, everything cooled down and finally, you know. But anyway, how this glob of mud was smart enough to figure out how to evolve in everything, and they evolve like in the heart that we're looking at right here. I said, you know, how can you do that? And you know, there's just the intelligent design is, folks, is all around us. All we have to do is open our eyes and look. God's revealed it to us. I'm getting clear off my notes. Okay, I'm okay. That verse goes on to say, according to the proportion of faith. Okay? If you prophesy, prophesy according to the measure of faith God has measured out to you. Okay? You may not be great. You may not be wonderful. But God wants to use you. If he gave you one talent, use that one talent. If he gave you five, use all five. I mean the measure I'm talking about. The measure of the faith that he's given you. God has dealt to every man a certain measure of faith, a certain power, a certain ability to minister a gift. It's like God gives gifts and then he gives the amount of faith needed to operate that gift. We should want to use our gift to teach the word for his glory out of a heart of gratitude. Folks, we owe God a lot. We owe God a lot. Okay? And most of us aren't doing a lot with what he gave us. And we need to, you know, get with the program. I guess is what this whole section's about. Let's move on to verse 7. Verse 7, okay. Or ministry. Let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching. All right, so we start off with ministering. Another word for ministry is serving. Okay, that's what we're talking about today. That's the third S. We had, it's a very gentle term for any kind of spiritual or supporting service. It can be for serving dinner to somebody. You know, I mean, people with a heart of service, serving, okay? It can be driving someone somewhere. by visiting and going over scripture with them and helping them understand, by taking the offering, helping people find a parking place, stacking paper, stuffing bulletins, making phone calls, cleaning, hospital ministry, taking care of babies in a nursery, writing people letters. There's endless ways of serving, folks. Endless ways of serving. And every person who has a gift of serving has it uniquely blended together with the way that God has made them. Special people that have the gift of serving. Wonderful. There's so many different ways of serving. The church is dependent on helpers. Folks, where would this church be if we didn't have any helpers? Who'd play the piano? Who'd take the offering? You know, we need helpers. The church needs people who say, I want to come in and do that. I'm here. What can I do? I'm sure Pastor would not turn you away if you went and asked him, Pastor, is there something I can do? I just feel like there's a need. I need to be doing something. And, you know, if you can't come up with something on your own, a ministry that you feel like you'd like to do, I'm sure he could find something for you, for us, okay? If you have that kind of a gift, then be at it. That's what Paul's saying. Get with the program. Do it. He goes on, that verse goes on to say, or he that teacheth on teaching. This is somebody who can systematically train someone else. Gift of teaching. So what's the difference between teaching and preaching? The gift of preaching is a one-time proclamation, a heralding of biblical truth. Now, the pastor's going to stand up here in a little bit, and he's going to proclaim truth. And then next Sunday, he'll get up and do the same thing. But it'll be a different scripture. Now, but that's proclaiming the Word of God, and he has been called by God to do that. And after 40 years of service, you could see what our pastor has accomplished. Okay? And it's wonderful. And a lot of you, he's the only pastor you've ever had. And a very, very special person, okay? Done a marvelous work here, okay? But he says it's time for him to move on. And that day comes, and we're here. So, we're looking for a new pastor. And we need to be praying for him. There's got to be some uncertainties going on in Roberta's life too. You know, now what? Okay? And so, we need to be praying for our church leadership. So what's the difference? Okay. But the gift of teaching is a function of systematically training people over a period of time. Taking them from one point to another systematically. For example, of training a choir over weeks until they are finally ready to perform. You know, it's a systematic thing, okay? Week by week by week, the choir meets and they train and they train, and then finally the night of the grand finale type of thing, okay? So it's more of a gradual thing, extended training over long periods of time. And again, pastors do that. Pastors teach. They have the gift of preaching. They also have the gift of teaching, because in the process of preaching, he's teaching. It can refer to a teacher in a Bible school or a Sunday school teacher. It can refer to someone who disciples a person one-on-one, who carries them from point A to point B. Folks, if you're discipling someone and leading them along, maybe a new Christian or somebody needs to be strengthened, you're teaching. It's analytical instruction. It's expounding. It's interpreting. It's unfolding the meaning so that people may understand. It's a gift without which the church cannot survive. If you have it, use it. You know, find a way to use it. It doesn't have to be in a church. Some folks who don't know anything about the Bible, find them. Okay? Set them down and become their teacher. Tell them what you know. It can start right in your own home, right in your circle of friends. Start up a Bible study at home. If you have that gift, use it. Paul had the gifts of prophecy, and he was also a teacher. So you can see there's some people can have more than one. Like I say, we've all got a little smidgen of all of them. He could proclaim on one hand, and he could also teach. He says in 2 Timothy 1:11, I am appointed a preacher, and I am an apostle, and a teacher. Three things he mentioned right there in that verse. It's common for a person to both be a preacher and a teacher in God's design. Paul was that. And I look at my enemy up there, and we got a half a minute. So we better wrap it up. You know, and I'm sorry, I didn't... Keith, would you introduce your guest to us, please? I forgot. I'm sorry. Okay, and we're so glad you folks are here from New Mexico, they said. All right, very good. We're so glad to have you. So I didn't mean to forget you here to start off with. So, okay, anybody have any questions or comments before we wrap her up? Okay, let's close the word of prayer. Thank you guys for coming. Thanks for being here. And again, pray for our church. Pray for our leadership. Pray for Pastor Roberta. And just pray for the new man that's going to come and be our interim here till we get one. Okay. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the Bible you've given us. Thank you for this instruction book. Lord, thank you for the freedom that we have to come and freely worship. And Father, we pray for those that do not have that privilege today. I pray, Father, for the persecuted Christians. I pray for those that are meeting in secret and in hiding and under threats. And Lord, in this wicked, wicked, wicked world that we live in. And Father, I just pray for them. I pray for our missionaries that they're able to proclaim your word. And Lord, to be able to do it with boldness, with power. And Lord, give them joy as they see results from their efforts that they're putting out. And Lord, I'm just so thankful that we can study your word. And Lord, this is our instruction book. Lord, you just help us to study it and Lord, to obey it. I just pray now that you'll be with Pastor as he brings a morning message. Lord, open our hearts for the message you have for us this morning as he brings a word. And we're just thankful, Father, for what you've done. And Lord, help us to be obedient, Lord, and help us to serve you. And Lord, to find something to do for you and to be in your service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed.